Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, glory to God. We bless you.
praise your name today, Lord. We honor your name today, Lord. We glorify your name today, Lord. For this is the day that you have made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Bible study, Lord. We acknowledge you, O God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for putting in our spirit and desire, intentional desire to grow spiritually. We bless your name today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the harvest of the seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to once again gather around the Holy Ghost fire and receive warmth from your word. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we ask to reveal yourself to us. Open up the ears and eyes of our understanding. Hallelujah. Help us walk the walk and talk the talk. Bless us as we receive from you tonight. And Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Say, the Lord God, rebuke you in your satanic cords. We curse you from the root of command you to be bound in Jesus' name. And Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for meeting the needs of every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of our voices tonight. Meet them at the point of that need and then give them super abundantly above in Jesus' name. And we praise your name and we glorify your name and we magnify your name in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
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 Amen. Tonight's new series. I want to just walk you through the path that we have been treading for the last series. We dealt with the 9 types of prayer. And then we dealt with the 9 fruit of the Spirit. That's fine, y'all. Now we're going to deal with all creation magnifying God's greatness. The 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are operated by the Holy Spirit through us. The 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are divided into 3 groups of 3. You have the revelation gifts. The revelation gifts reveal something. You need to really write that down. The revelation gifts reveal something. You have the power gifts. The power gifts do something. Then you have the inspiration gift. The inspiration gift, say something. Oh, we are marching to spiritual maturity, growing in the knowledge and truth of Almighty God in Jesus' name, y'all. And as we continue down this path, we'll become teachers to others. As the knowledge and wisdom and understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is manifested in our lives. So without any further ado, hopefully you got your pens and your pencils and your ink pens and composition notebooks or whatever you use ready. This is the new series, the gift the Holy Spirit.
topic that we're going to be discussing is called the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are often referred to as the manifestation gifts as well. We'll go over that in a minute as we get into the Word. But today what we're doing is we're starting a new series. This is going to be a two-week series, and we're going to be talking about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. The reason why we're going to do this is obviously we were led to by the Holy Spirit, but as we do, we're going to do a deep dive into each of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. What we want to discuss in this is we want to understand and discuss the ministry of the Holy Spirit himself. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant for the edification of the body of Christ. Now, when I say edification, sometimes people don't understand how that word is applied when it refers to the word. Edification simply means building up. These nine gifts are meant for the building up of the body of Christ. What I will tell you, though, is that the gifts are mostly meant for the body of Christ, but there are also some of these gifts that are meant as a witness to the non-believer. We're going to discuss that later because sometimes people think these are only for the body of Christ. And I'm going to show you later as we do our deep dive into each of the gifts, you're going to see that certain gifts actually have witnessing power to the non-saved. But as a general rule, these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the reason why they're so important is because they're meant for the building up of the body of Christ. You know, there's certain people out there or denominations out there who they're believers, you know, they believe in God and they believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, praise God, and we're going to see them in heaven and hanging out, praise God. But unfortunately, they're leaving one of the most powerful things they can be using as a spiritual weapon to reach the lost and reach the body of Christ within the world. They're leaving it off the table right now. And what I mean by they're leaving it off the table is some people feel that the gifts of the Holy Spirit don't operate anymore, that they came around for just a short period, right after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and it was just for a brief period with the apostles. I'm going to tell you that that's actually not correct, but I'm also not here to offend you. So that being said, if you're of a denomination or of a raising, maybe you were brought up in a certain way where you didn't believe that these are there, then use these next 2 weeks to really dive into God's Word with us, discover what his word says in the new way, and then let him be your guide as he should. Go before him in your private prayer time and seek him. Because anything that I say or anyone else says, you should always prove for yourself anyways. That's what a responsible believer does. As a responsible believer, you go back to God's word and you dig it out. So today we're going to be talking about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, these are sometimes referred to as the nine manifestation gifts, but they're the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we start to study this, I want to get right in the Word, and I'm going to give you a general scripture, or I shouldn't say general scripture, but it's the scripture where it talks about the actual nine gifts. And as we do that, we're then going to use each of the days over the next 2 weeks to do a deep dive on each of the specific gifts. Let's go ahead and get into the Word. And if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be starting out of verse 1, and then we're going to skip right down to verse 4. So we're starting at verse 1 and then skipping down to verse 4. Ready? Let's read. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now we're going to skip down to verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, as we begin reading this, one of the first things it talks about is this is actually the Apostle Paul talking. He's the one that wrote this. This was a letter to the Church of Corinth. And he was writing this that he didn't want them to be ignorant of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to point out something that I feel is very key when we're studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is that when the apostles, the original 12 apostles, actually learned directly from Jesus. In other words, they learned through and from Jesus directly, You know, they walked around with him. He ministered to them. He taught them. They saw him working. They saw his works. They saw what he did. They learned directly through him. The Apostle Paul, if you know the story of him, he did not turn around and learn through Jesus. He was out busy persecuting Christians at the time. So the Apostle Paul, when he came to repentance and came to know the Lord, he actually had to learn directly through the Holy Spirit. I think that's a key thing to point out, because when we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, some people think that that only happened for a brief period right after Jesus. You know, what you have to understand is the gifts of the Holy Spirit is when someone is saved. You cannot have any of the gifts if you're not saved. But when you're a saved, born-again believer, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, that you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, when you do that and you ask for forgiveness of your sins and that repentance, you know, you get repentance and the Lord comes upon you in your life, that is manifested, or I should say that is evident through the manifesting of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, that may not happen at once, but eventually those are gifts that will come upon you if you position yourself correctly to receive. You know, it tells us in the Word that the Holy Spirit gives us as he will. No one can do anything to earn the gifts, but there are things as a believer you can do to position yourself to receive them. One of the best things you can do, and we're not studying that today, but if I were to take you to the book of Galatians and study the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, I would show you that if you grow in those, or as you grow in those, you will begin to position yourselves from a character standpoint to be able to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, that being said, one of the main reasons as we're teaching this that you're going to see is oftentimes when I'm teaching the subject, you see people who turn around and they'll recognize that these gifts have already been operating to some degree within their life. The reason why it's so important to understand them is that with all things, the more you understand something, the more comfortable you become with it, the more confidence you gain from it. And the more confidence you gain from it, the more you're willing to step out and use it. And I will tell you that the more you use it, it tells us in the Word that he who's faithful with little will be ruler over much. As you turn around and you're faithful with the gifts you've been given, God will recognize that and you'll see more gifts come upon you. I also want to tell you that as you're doing that, sometimes people ask, how many gifts can a person have operate within their life? I'm going to tell you it's possible for a person to have all nine gifts operate in their life. Now, I can think of people right now who are very popular pastors who have written books who have said that that's not the case. And what they use as their scripture for that is that if you had all nine gifts, then why would we need the rest of the body of Christ? Well, I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, that someone who has a lack of understanding on how the gifts actually operate. Now, I'm not putting them down. These are good men and women of God who have actually turned around and reached many souls out there. But I'm going to tell you, in the gifts, there's nothing you can do to make them work. The Holy Spirit gives them to you as he deems, as he wills. But when they're on you, you can't operate or manufacture a moving of the Holy Spirit whenever you want. You know, if you operate by a word of wisdom or gifts of healing, you can't just turn that on and turn it off. That's just not the way that works. So, yes, it's possible for someone to have all nine gifts. And I will tell you, though, that you can't make them come on. So at sometimes you'll find even though you operate in that gift, sometimes it'll flow through you. And other times it won't. It may be other gifts. That's why we need the whole body of Christ, because we're meant to complement each other. But that's not to say that someone can't receive all nine gifts. I will also tell you that as you're operating in these gifts, even though you cannot manufacture it, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you do need to be obedient to it, to the operation of those gifts. You don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. You want to be, pliable. You want to be, I don't say nimble, but you want to be pliable in the way that he can use you and you can be obedient to be used by the gifts. These gifts, remember, are meant for the building up of the body of Christ, and in some cases they're meant as a witness to the lost, but we'll talk about that later. The last thing I want to go into before we close is as we begin this two-week teaching, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are actually broken down into three groups of three. So, when we study this, we're actually going to break this down into three different groups, and we're going to do a deep dive into each individual scripture. These are the scriptures that we're going to be covering. The first one we have is the revelation gifts. The revelation gifts are consistent of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. We also will be covering the power gifts. The power gifts include faith, miracles, and gifts of healings. We're also going to be covering the inspiration gifts. These are sometimes also referred to as the motivation or motivational gifts. The inspiration gifts consist of diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Guys, I'm really excited about this study. Every time I do a teaching on this, and every time I've done a teaching on this in the past, we've seen people grow so much, and it's so awesome, especially now more than ever, because we know we're closer to the end than anyone's ever been before. But as we're closer to the end, that means we're also closer to the return of Christ, which means that there's a sense of urgency to reach the lost. And the way we reach the lost is by having a well-equipped, well-informed body of Christ. We are experiencing end-time prophecies around us all the time, and we're seeing God's glory and grace pour out heavier now than it's ever been before because we're closer to the end, and there's more anointing that's pouring out because we're in a sense of urgency that we need to reach the lost. Guys, as we dive into this over the next 2 weeks, I ask that you stay with us, and if you have questions, be sure to reach out to us through our contact page on our website. You can find that at neilreyes.com. At the same point, we stream all of our teachings there. They're available to be streamed 24 hours a day. In addition, we also invite you to connect us on our social media. You can find us on our YouTube channel, which we invite you to subscribe. You can also find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter. If you do that, it makes it easy for you to share what we're sharing with you easily on your social media feeds so that you can share it with those that you love. Guys, in addition to that, we also want to invite you. This is something new that the Lord has impressed upon us recently, but we want to invite you that if there are subjects that you're needing help with or if there are areas that you'd like to hear about, then send us comments, and we'll be sure to pray about that and go before the Lord so we can put teachings together based around the things that you're needing help with. You can either do that through our contact page on our website or simply drop them in our comments on any of our YouTube videos. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and He loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
All right, we have five.
Questions?
I'm gonna turn it over to you, Pastor Peter, but I just want to let everybody know we have 5 minutes between each video or audio. Pastor Peaches is the timekeeper. So whatever you share, keep it as succinct as possible so others who have questions or comments can share. So now you can start your 5 minutes, Pastor Peaches.
Yes. Pastor, can you go over the revelation gift? There are gifts that reveal something, knowledge, wisdom, and what was the third one?
Revelation
gifts.
Discernment of spirits.
Okay.
These are the revelation gifts, word of wisdom,
right.
Word of knowledge, and discernment of spirits. And the revelation gifts reveal something.
Right.
Okay.
And the power gifts is faith.
Do something. Mm-hmm. Faith, and you know that faith is something to do because it says faith without works is dead. So faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings. And then you have the inspiration gifts, say something. Of course, there's diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Now, the gift of prophecy is different from the role of the prophet. So we're not talking about the role of the prophet. We're talking about the inspirational gift of the Holy Spirit, which is prophecy. And those inspiration gifts say something. Okay.
Anybody have any questions? Clarity? The scripture was 1 Corinthians 12:1-4. Any comments?
I still need
anybody
to understand
there?
How. Yes, how do you quench the Holy Spirit? What is it you're not doing that grieves the Holy Spirit? You quench it.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's
I believe one way to quench it is when he's trying to nudge you to do something and use it. Oh no, and you don't do it. You ignore it.
Okay.
You know it's the spirit.
Okay.
You ignore it.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Pastor Peaches, may I interject?
Yes, Pastor. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the question was, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit?
Quench. Yes. How do you quench the Holy Spirit?
Are you just?
Yes.
He just answered Pastor Peaches. Your Holy Spirit is giving you an unction to do something or say something, or the Holy Spirit has revealed something to you, and you chose to ignore it.
Okay.
It's just like a fire. You put water on it or you smother it, you don't quench the fire. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Peaches. You go ahead. How many minutes do we have?
27. We're about three more.
Okay.
Did that answer your question, KB?
Yes, right on point. That was good.
And sometimes we don't believe that that the Lord can work through us, so we say, and sometimes we get scared. We say, oh no, I ain't gonna say that. I don't believe that. And sometimes we just oh no, I can't believe he's trying to speak through me. Well, he's using me to give interpretation or something, or the Lord may be leading you to tell somebody something, and you rationalize it in your own mind.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Peaches, may I interject again?
Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Many years ago, this was at Dowsville Cathedral. It was a Saturday night service. And this is, to my knowledge, the first time this happened to me. We were having service. And so now it was the Holy Spirit. He was revealing to me through the word of knowledge that there was a young person in attendance that was contemplating suicide, and that I need to say something about that to bring that to a head and to pray against that. Because I was at a very traditional church, I allowed false evidence appearing real. That's called fear. I quit. But God wanted that to come out. So God moved on that person to actually stand up. Young person said, you know, I was contemplating suicide. And it just shocked me to the core. Because the Holy Spirit had given that to me 2 or 3 or 4 minutes before this person. And I knew that I had quenched the Holy Spirit. When you quench the Holy Spirit, you do grieve the Holy Spirit. He's trying to, he's giving you a life raft, a life buoy to somebody, and you choose not to use it. And that's what happened that time. But he's let me realize a bunch of other things, and I don't share it, but there are a lot of things that have happened in my life when I've spoken the word and stuff. Because God gave me that unction in my spirit, and what I said was absolutely true. I know that I stand in the role of a prophet, which in the role of a prophet, you do work in the word of wisdom. That's what that is. But you'll be hearing about it in the next audio. But anyway, I understand that quenching the Holy Spirit is not a good thing to do. Grieving the Holy Spirit is not a good thing to do. I tell you again, I say this almost every day now, that the safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. Thank you, Pastor Peter.
Amen.
Is there any more comment before we go to the next one?
No.
Ready to go to the next one, Pastor.
Woo!
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called a word of wisdom. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called a word of wisdom. We're in the middle of our series studying the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is often referred to as the manifestation gifts or the nine manifestation gifts. And today we're studying what is known as a word of wisdom. Now, when we study the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the things we said in our previous teaching is that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are actually broken up into three categories of three. You have your revelation gifts, you have your power gifts, and you have your inspiration gifts. Your inspiration gifts are sometimes referred to as the motivation or motivational gifts, but you have three different sets of three. Today we're going to be beginning our series by talking about the revelation gifts, and the first gift that we're going to be diving right into is a word of wisdom. And when we talk about the word of wisdom, we want to teach you what it is and what it is not. That way you understand. Now, one of the things I also want to preface in these teachings is that when people study the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, oftentimes they will find that these gifts may have already been operating within their life, but they didn't know exactly what they were, so they didn't know how to label them. But as they begin to learn and they understand it, through education will come confidence, and through confidence you'll find yourself using these gifts more, and you'll find them operating in you stronger. As you're faithful with the gifts that God's given you and with the unction of when he shows you to use them, when that happens, you'll find more gifts will eventually be open to you because you've been found faithful. Now, that being said, what a word of wisdom is not is a word of wisdom is not when someone is wise about all manners of things. That is not what a word of wisdom is. I've actually heard different teachers sometimes or pastors talk about that, and then knocking them, but unfortunately they taught it sometimes as a word of wisdom is when you're very wise in all subjects. And that is not what that is, and we'll back that in the word. What a word of wisdom is when God gives you a supernatural revelation or word about a future event that has not taken place yet. Again, a word of wisdom is when God gives you a supernatural word or revelation about a future event that has not taken place yet. Now, when he does this, there's a couple reasons for it. The first one is sometimes he tells you to warn you about it. When he tells you to warn you about it, sometimes you will either have the opportunity to prepare for that or you'll have the opportunity to change that through prayer. But once he's revealed that to you, you must spend time in prayer before him seeking what his will is in that situation, whether if he wants you to prepare for it or if he wants you to change it through your prayer. Now, it tells us in Romans 4:17 that we've been given the authority or the ability to call things not as they were, but as they are meant to be. That is a spiritual law in the word that you've been given as a believer through the believer's authority, that you're able to call things not as they were, but as they're meant to be. I'll give you two quick examples about a word of wisdom that operated, and I'm actually going to take you back to the Old Testament. The first one's when we talk about the story of Noah. When God revealed to Noah that there was going to be a great flood, you know, they'd never had a flood at that time to where the earth had flooded. In fact, you'll hear some teachers talk about that they'd never even had rain up into that time. So people, when he turned around and tried to warn them about it, they laughed at him for it. Well, how did God turn around and warn Noah about an upcoming flood? He warned him through a word of wisdom. And when he did that, one of the things you have to understand is it was a warning about something that he needed to prepare for. And the next one I will show you is through King David. King David actually prophesied about Jesus as Messiah in Psalms 2 and Psalms 22. And that was a word for future revelation for witness purposes so that people would understand that Jesus was going to be coming. Another thing that I want to tell you is that when people turn around and operate in this gift or any gift, one of the things that's important to know is that when you operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's usually not just one gift operating. It's usually several gifts that are supporting each other. Man likes to think in terms of boxes, so to speak, and they think that when you're operating in the gift of wisdom, that there's only one box operating at that time. And that's actually not how that is. It's usually several boxes that are operating together. But one thing to know is that no one can manufacture a moving of the Holy Spirit. So if you operate in this gift now or in the future, There's nothing you can do to turn it on and make it go to work. This is something that you're led by the Lord, where he gives you a supernatural revelation about a future event. Another important thing to mention is sometimes when people operate in this gift, they think automatically that maybe that means that they're a prophet. And I'm going to tell you that's actually not what that means. So let me clarify this, because this is important for the body of Christ. Remember, the gifts of the Spirit are for the building up or edification, the building up of the body of Christ. When someone operates in a word of wisdom and they're foretelling something of the future, and I say foretelling, when God gives them a supernatural revelation, a prophetic word about the future, okay, when they give it through the word of wisdom, just because you operate in the gift of the word of wisdom does not make you a prophet. However, if someone is a prophet, they will operate within this gift. I'm going to say that again. When someone operates in a word of wisdom, that does not make them a prophet. However, a prophet will operate within this gift. Now, when we talk about prophets, sometimes people think that one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit is prophecy. And they actually think that prophecy is foretelling of the future. And it's not, and we'll get into that later within this study, within this series. The telling of the future is the word of wisdom. That's when God supernaturally imparts wisdom upon you or about a future event that has not occurred yet. And again, it's either for witness purposes or it's for preparation purposes, either for you to turn around and prepare for an event or for you to pray to change that event according to Romans 4:17, or it's for witness purposes. But when we talk about operating this gift, when you talk about being a prophet, not to get off scale, but there's actually five different offices within the church. You have the office of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And just because someone operates within this gift does not mean that they're going to fulfill the office of a prophet. That being said, I want to jump right into the word and read where we can find this in the scripture. Yesterday we talked about, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, where it talks about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read you verse 8 just so you can see where it talks about specifically a word of wisdom. Let's read. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Now, that's where it tells us about the gift. But I now want to take you, and this is the Apostle Paul who's teaching this. And remember, the Apostle Paul didn't learn directly from Jesus like the other original 12 disciples. The Apostle Paul came after Jesus' resurrection, so he actually learned directly through the Holy Spirit, which means the same teacher that was teaching Paul can teach us as well through God's word and through direct fellowship. I think that's an exciting thing. Next one I want to take you is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, so back up a little bit, and we're going to go verses 4 through 10. Let's read. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 10. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Guys, when we talk about a word of wisdom, again, a word of wisdom is when God gives you supernatural revelation, a supernatural word about a future event that has not occurred yet. Or as Paul said, a word that is not of this age, meaning it's something about the future. And when God does that, as a reminder, it's for a couple reasons. It's either for a witnessing tool, or it's telling us so that we can either prepare or change it through our prayer. If he tells it to us as a witnessing tool, that's what he did through David, King David, when David wrote the Psalm 2 and Psalm 22. Those are examples of that in the Old Testament when he foretold about Jesus coming as Messiah. When he talked about that, and in fact, in Psalm 22, he actually talks about everything that Jesus went through on the cross. he actually talked about the things that Jesus experienced in his death on the cross. That's what that was. That was for a witnessing tool so that when the body of Christ hears it, it strengthens their belief in God and knowing that God is real and God exists. Now, when he told Noah about it with the example we used earlier, it was for a warning. And when God tells us something about a future as a warning, it comes for two reasons, but we have to seek him in prayer, asking what his will is for us so we know how to pray for that. The first one is whether or not we're supposed to prepare for it, and the second one is whether or not he wants us to change the outcome of that event by praying in the Spirit according to Romans 4:17, calling things not as they are, or but as they are meant to be. That is what a word of wisdom is. Guys, I hope that you continue growing with us within this study and that you gain something from this today. As always, we want to invite you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com where you can check out all of our teaching resources. They're available to stream 24 hours a day. In addition to that, we invite you to connect with us on our social media, on our YouTube channel. We invite you to subscribe and share that with your friends. You can also connect with us on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Guys, if these teachings are meaning something to you, then we invite you to share them on your social media and share them with the people around you that are within your circles. In addition to that, if there's a subject or an area that you would like to be fed or taught in, we invite you to leave that in our comment sections of our YouTube channel or to go ahead and go to our website and underneath our contact page, fill out a real quick form, send it to us. That way we can go before the Lord and be led to teach you on the areas that you're hoping to be led and taught on. Guys, as always, we want to thank you for stopping by. We want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Hallelujah.
All right. Questions, comments, clarity?
Could you give the scriptures again, please?
Romans 4:17, Psalms 2, Psalms 22, 1 Corinthians 12:8, 1 Corinthians 2:4-10.
You said Psalms 2:22?
Say it again.
Did you say Psalms 2:22?
No, Psalms 2 and then Psalms 22.
Oh, okay.
Those two were two examples of a word of words of wisdom.
Okay.
I didn't
I have
get
a question.
Far when he said
repeat.
Sounded like Angie was getting ready to say something, and then sounded like AJ was talking at the same time. Angie?
Yeah, I was saying that the word of wisdom, he said, is when God is something. I didn't get the rest of it.
God gives you a supernatural event, tells you of a supernatural event that hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Thank you.
AJ, were you going to say something?
I had a question.
Uh-huh.
He was saying, I think this is what he was saying. He was saying that a prophet does not have to have the gift of wisdom. But then he turned around and said, then he said something about the, then after that, I missed the next sentence. He said, I don't know what it's, I missed that next, the next sentence. Was that he said the prophet will have the gift of prophecy, or I missed that. Is that what he said?
Pastor Peters, may I interject?
Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay, what he said is that the gift of prophecy is not the same thing as the prophet in the role, standing in the role of the prophet, the office of the prophet. The word of wisdom is the prophetic anointing, supernatural anointing about a future event, the word of wisdom is. Now,
right.
Just because people may share a word of wisdom does not mean they are a prophet or they stand in the role or office of the prophet. Now, he also said that if you stand in the office or the role of a prophet, you will have the word of wisdom operating in your life.
Amen.
Does that explain better to you?
Okay. All right. So you will have. Okay.
The,
I got you.
The office of the prophet will always have at least, he's going to have more than that one gift, but he'll have the word of wisdom. He operates in the word of wisdom.
The word of wisdom
is the prophetic.
And the gift of prophecy.
That's not the same. The role of the prophet is not the same as the gift of prophecy. Two different things.
It's not the same.
It's not the gift of prophecy has nothing to do with foretelling the future. That's the word of wisdom. You'll hear more about that when we talk about the gift of prophecy.
Okay.
All right. But the word of wisdom, that's the prophetic anointing. And that is, can be used by someone who's not a prophet. But all persons who stand in the role of a prophet, they will definitely have the word of wisdom is one of the gifts that they flow with.
Will have. Okay.
Any other comments before we go to the next one? Hey, Pastor.
When I go back and listen to
I'm sorry. I was teeing up the next audio. Did you ask me a question?
No, I was saying go ahead, Pastor, for the next one.
Oh, okay.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called a word of knowledge. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called a word of knowledge. If you've been with us, you know that this week and next week we're covering the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. These gifts are sometimes referred to as well as the nine manifestation gifts. And as we study the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the things we've talked about is that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are actually broken up into three categories. You have the revelation gifts, the power gifts, and the inspiration gifts. Currently, we're studying the revelation gifts, and in yesterday's teaching, we covered a word of wisdom. As a quick recap, what a word of wisdom is, it's a supernatural revelation from the Lord about a word for a future event. In other words, it's a word of a future event that has not occurred yet. Today, we're going to be covering a word of knowledge, and as we're covering a word of knowledge, I want to get right into what it is and what it isn't. First of all, let's talk about what it isn't. What a word of knowledge is not is when someone is very knowledgeable about many things or is knowledgeable in broad areas. That is not what a word of knowledge is. What a word of knowledge is, as defined for us in the Word, is when God gives us supernatural revelation, when he gives us supernatural understanding about a past or current event that we could not have any understanding or knowledge about without him giving it to us. So again, a word of knowledge is not when someone is knowledgeable about many things. That's not what that is. What a word of knowledge is when a person has knowledge about a current or past situation that has been revealed to them by God that there is no other way for them to know about it. In other words, it has to come from God. And oftentimes it'll come as an impression. Sometimes he'll lay it on your heart. Sometimes he'll impress upon you to start praying and reveal it to you through intercessory prayer. There's many ways in which this gift operates. And one of the things we want to continue to reiterate throughout the course of this teaching and this series is that when the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate, they're meant to operate for the building up or edification of the body of Christ. Now, yes, they do have some of them, not all of the gifts, but some of the gifts also have external witnessing powers. This is one of them. However, the broad spectrum of these gifts is for the building up or edification of the body of Christ. When a word of knowledge is imparted on you, one of the things we also want to talk about through about all the gifts is that man sometimes likes to compartmentalize things in order to understand them. In other words, if they were boxes, they think that sometimes when boxes, that when a gift of the Spirit's operating, that it's that one box that's operating at that time. And that's usually not the way it works. When a gift of the Holy Spirit is operating or manifesting, there's usually several gifts that are manifesting for support reasons at the same time. And so, yes, one may come to the surface more as a primary gift, but there's other gifts that are supporting it usually as well. Now, that being said, the reason and purpose why God has blessed us with the word of knowledge is for a couple reasons. The first one is for a witnessing purpose, whether it be within the body or outside the body. That's when God supernaturally reveals something to somebody. And it's always about a current situation or something from the past. And it's about something that the person could not have known about without God supernaturally revealing it to them. If it's ever a word about the future, then that's a word of wisdom. But as you grow and operate in these gifts and as the Holy Spirit blesses you with the ability of these gifts, sometimes you'll find the word of knowledge and word of wisdom operating in tandem. In other words, the Lord might have you speaking to someone about their past, and then he'll have you give them a word about their future because those gifts were operating in tandem. It doesn't always work like that, but it certainly can. Now, at the same time, in addition to the witnessing factor for both in and outside the body of Christ, a word of knowledge will sometimes often come on you with a sense of urgency. And the reason being is because when it comes on you, the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to urgently pray for a current situation. In fact, a word of wisdom can come like that as well, because it could be something that's going to be happening in the next few hours or something to come. But when God gives us these gifts, they are coming through his Holy Spirit, and he's showing them to us for a reason. They're imparting upon us and operating with for a reason. Now, one of the things we want to do is we want to get right into the Word. And one of the things we've used as a foundational scripture, and we'll continue to, it's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, specifically through verses 4 through 11, as the Apostle Paul. I want to take you right now to verse 8, where it talks about a word of knowledge. Let's read. It says, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So, as we're talking about these gifts, this is one of the revelation gifts, a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is about a current or past situation. It's never about a future. That's a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge is when God imparts on you about a past or current situation that you can know nothing about that he imparts upon you to pray. Now, that being said, let me give you some examples with that. An example I would give you of that would be directly from the ministry. If you know the story, when Jesus was sitting at the well and the Samaritan woman came up at noon and she came to get a drink of water, you know, there's some, I don't want to say anomalies, but there's some things about that story that we know it has significance. Because most of the time people wouldn't go to the well during the middle of the day when it's at the hottest to get this heavy well or, you know, jug that they're going to lower all the way in and bring it back up and carry it back. That just wasn't a common time for that to do it. At the same time, Samaritans didn't interface with the Jews at that time. And yet Jesus was Jewish, and this was a Samaritan woman. Well, as she approaches the well, one of the things that Jesus does is he tells her, hey, can you offer me a drink of water, please? And as they begin to speak, they start talking. And one of the things he tells her is he says, why don't you go get your husband? And she tells him, she says, I don't have a husband. And he says, that's right, you don't have a husband. You've actually had 5 husbands, and the man you're currently living with is not your husband. It was a word of knowledge that God imparted upon Jesus so that he could witness to this woman who was unsaved. Now, if I go to another standpoint or another time with it, I would take you to a story of Peter. And Peter's in Joppa, and he's on the house of Simon the Tanner, and he's praying. And as he's praying in the Spirit, the Lord turns around and gives him a vision. And as he gives him a vision, it's about some animals and things like that. And basically, he ends up explaining to Peter, as Peter seeks the interpretation of his vision, that there were going to be some men coming up who were actually Gentiles. And that when they come up, that he's to turn around and go with them back to the house of Cornelius. It was a word of knowledge that was given to Peter. But at the same time, the Lord also gave a word of knowledge to Cornelius, because prior to that, when he was visiting with Cornelius, who was a Gentile, he was not a Jew, he was explaining to him that he wanted him to send some men to go get Peter the apostle from the, and he was going to be at the house of Simon the Tanner. And he gave him specific knowledge around that. And obviously, if you know the story, Peter the apostle, Peter went back to Cornelius' house and witnessed to them, and they had what I would call a great revival. Now, a word of knowledge, in recap, a word of knowledge is when God supernaturally gives you a word, a revelation, about a current or past situation that you can know nothing about. I've had this operate many times within my own life. In fact, many times when I'm talking to believers and they're recognizing they have this gift, they usually recognize they have it, because at times they'll be in bed at night and they'll wake up and they feel impressed to pray, or they feel a burden and they don't know what's wrong. Sometimes you have to pray through that burden, and God gives you the revelation or knowledge of what he needs you to pray about in an urgent manner at that moment. And oftentimes you'll hear people say that they talk to such and such or a friend, and the person that they felt heavily impressed to pray about, later on they told them that they avoided the car accident, or they avoided this, or they avoided that, because of that word of knowledge that the Lord blessed them with. I want to share with you a time that was very powerful as I was first growing within this gift and learning the understanding of it and the operations of it, that it happened within my life. Years and years ago, when my wife and I first started off in ministry, we started off how many people do. We started off by doing Bible studies. And we really enjoyed doing Bible studies. It was an opportunity for us to welcome people into our house. We got to turn around and host them and love on them with food and go through the studies, and we had a good time. Well, one of the things we did as a characteristic within that cell group, within that Bible study we led, is after we would give the teaching, we would turn around at the end, we would get in a circle with whoever was there, and in a prayer circle, ask if anyone had any prayer needs, we could lift up for them. And what we would do is we would give the opportunity for the people within the group to pray for each other. That way they could learn to begin to pray out loud and learn how to pray. It was a time of instruction and a time for them to build up and form closer fellowship. Because iron sharpens iron, they were able to pray over the people around them and form those good friendships. Well, as we were doing that, there was this one girl who stood up and said she really needed some prayer. She had talked about that she was getting ready to go through a divorce and that the relationships within her life, especially her marriage, was just in a mess. And she didn't know why that was, but that she had went to church the week before at her local church, and they had had a guest speaker who was operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when he was operating that, he had operated in a word of knowledge. She didn't know it at the time what it was, but he had given her a word about her past. And when she came up as he was ministering to people, he had explained to her that, even not knowing anything about her, he'd never met her before, but explaining to her that currently at the time she was going through failed relationships. And the reason why her relationships were failing was because she had anger, and it was coming from her past. But that was it. The Lord gave him a word of knowledge. He didn't give him a sentence or a paragraph or a book. He gave him a word of knowledge. And as he gave him a word of knowledge, he expressed that to her. Well, she went home and she prayed about it and sought it, but she didn't know where it was coming from, only that it was coming from her past, because that was the word that was given to her. Well, fast forward about a week, and she comes over to our Bible study. And as we're there and as she's mentioning that, right before we go into prayer, the Lord gives me a continued word of knowledge for her. So I simply kindly say to her, hey, we're going to go ahead and go into prayer. Everybody lift your people up in prayer. But when we're done, would you mind if Katie and I speak with you? I want to speak with you and my wife for a second. She goes, sure. So we do our prayer, and a couple minutes later we finish. Everybody moves out of our front room and goes to our kitchen so they can start eating. And I call my wife over, and her and I sit down with this girl. And as we're talking with her, I said, hey, when you spoke about that word of knowledge that was given to you, I heard the Lord speak something to me, and I'm going to share it with you. And I don't want it to offend you, but he showed me where your anger is coming from. And I want to share with you that it's coming from a place different than where you've ever expected it to. In fact, you went through something when you were younger, and it was such a hard thing to go through that you thought you were making the right choice at the time because you weren't walking with the Lord. And as you made this choice over time, it's kind of reminisced and come up in your life, and it's been painful, so you've squished it down, and you've squished it down, and every time it's come up, you've squished it down, and you've squished it down so much that now you don't even remember what it is. But just like when you turn around and throw garbage, you know, if you have a bag of trash, instead of taking it out to the street, if you turn around and you throw it in your pantry, you can shove it in the back and shove it further and shove it further, but over time, that stink's still going to get stronger and stronger. I said, I want to ask you a question, and please don't be offended, but just know that the Lord loves you and he wants to heal you. And I said, in your past, when you were younger, you had an abortion. I said, is that correct? And the moment I told her that, her eyes glossed over and the tears began to come. And as she did that, I said, in fact, you didn't just have one, you had multiple. And she confirmed for me that, in fact, she hadn't just had one, but she had had several. In fact, I believe she said she had four at the time. When she did that, the tears came, and she heaved, and she cried. You see, there is no way for me to know what she was going through without the Lord showing me. I had never known this lady before that time. This is a good woman, a good sister. But she had made a decision when she was younger. She had made some bad choices, and then she made another bad choice on top of it because she thought it was the choice she needed to protect her future. The enemy is so keen on trying to get people to be isolated and pick them off or make them feel like they're an island unto themselves. I will tell you that when he does that, that's one of his main tactics, to try to pick people off. I want to share with you that if you have been through something hard within your life, just like that lady, God is not judging you out of anger. That's not what the God does. God wants to love you and throw his arms around you and offer healing to you. I want to let you know that that lady found healing that day. And when she walked out of our house, she left a different person than the way she came in, and the Lord was able to minister to her. Unfortunately, she did go through a divorce. But as the Lord ministered to her and helped her heal over that past situations that she had been through in her life, I want to let you know that she later remarried the husband that she had divorced from, and she was very happy when I spoke to her next after she had got remarried to him. Guys, that is the way a word of knowledge operates. A word of knowledge is always a supernatural revelation from the Lord about a past or current situation that we could not know about. And it comes for either witnessing purposes for within the body or outside the body. But at the same time, it also sometimes comes with a sense of urgency so that we can urgently pray about a situation. Guys, I hope you found this teaching encouraging. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. And also swing by our social media. You can find our YouTube channel where you can subscribe to it. On YouTube or on Facebook, you can find us, or you can find us on Twitter. If these teachings are meaning something to you, we invite you to share them on your social media feeds and to point your friends and family and the people within your circles to them so it can help them as well. And as always, we also want to start telling you that if there's a subject you'd like to learn about, we invite you to share that with us. Simply go to our website at neilreyes.com, jump on the contact form. It takes just a second to fill out, and let us know what you'd like to be taught on. As you do that, we'll take those before the Lord and pray about it. And as we're led, we'll teach on those subjects so we can help you with the things you want to know about. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
All right. Any questions, clarity, comments?
So, the word of knowledge, its purpose is to set you free from what you've been holding on to that Satan's been holding over your head, kind of, sort of.
He said the purpose of a word of knowledge was a witnessing tool. Say that again. What's your question?
Yes, it's a witnessing. Okay,
uh-huh.
Go ahead. Say what you just said again.
He said it was two reasons. It was two purposes. He said a witnessing tool was one.
Okay.
If I may interject.
And the second one?
Go ahead, Pastor. You remember the second one was?
The body.
Yes, to edify the body of Christ.
To build up the body of Christ. As a witnessing tool, to edify the body of Christ. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pastor Peter.
So, but also, he said the same thing as far as in the wisdom about, like, about it's a supernatural, like a supernatural event that like that we don't know about? You said that same thing again.
The wisdom, the word of wisdom was God giving you was about a supernatural event that you had no way of knowing.
A future event.
Yes.
That's the wisdom.
Right. Oh, the future. Oh, future.
Okay.
Right. Knowledge. So for knowledge, it doesn't have to be in the future. It could be any time.
No.
It could have been something happening in the past.
Past or present. That's the difference. May I interject? I'm sorry, Pastor Peter.
Go ahead,
Pastor. Okay. Wisdom is the supernatural knowledge of a future event.
Right.
Knowledge is the supernatural knowing of a past or current event. That's the difference. A word of knowledge, present or past event. Word of wisdom, future event. Okay?
Okay. Supernatural knowing,
yes,
of past or
present. That's knowledge. That's the word of knowledge. In other words, it's the knowledge or knowing of an event that happened in the past or is it happening right now or the present.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word of knowledge.
Amen.
Okay. All right, thank you, Pastor Peter.
Past or present. Past or present.
And basically, he used the chapter 1 Corinthians 12 and 8, right?
Yes. Yeah, this time he started from the 8th. He said 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11, but he started the 8th verse.
Right.
Started at the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
8 through 14.
Power on. Bluetooth.
Any more comments? Questions? Clarity?
May I interject before we start the next one? That's the thesis.
Yes, sir.
Again, word of wisdom, future. Word of knowledge, past or present. Word of wisdom, future. Word of knowledge, past or present. Supernatural. In other words, you're knowing stuff that you could not have known. Either
right.
Word of wisdom, that's future stuff. Word of knowledge, past or present.
That only God could have given to you.
Amen. Now, do y'all all have the scriptures now? Y'all got the scriptures that he was sharing?
Yeah.
How much time we have left?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Time for the next one, Pastor.
Okay. All right.
Went over.
And this is the last one. We're doing the revelation gifts. Again, the revelation gifts reveal something. Revelation gifts reveal something. So we had word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and here's the next one.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called discerning of spirits. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called discerning of spirits. If you've been following along with us, we've started a two-week study that we're covering the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, sometimes these gifts are also referred to as the nine manifestation gifts. And you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to find these gifts, or the list of these gifts is what I should say. We're covering the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and currently right now we're covering what we refer to as the revelation gifts. Now, something that's important to understand, as we've been saying, is that with the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're actually broken up into three groups of three. You have the revelation gifts, you have the power gifts, and you have the inspiration gifts. We've been covering the past couple of days the revelation gifts. We covered the word of wisdom, we covered the word of knowledge, and now we're covering discerning of spirits. As we do, we want to get right into this, and we want to discuss what this is, because there's a lot of material around this that we'd like to cover, and we want to make you sure that you're well equipped. The first thing I want to do is I want to talk about what the discerning of spirits is not. What the discerning of spirits is not is, first of all, when people refer to it as a gift of discernment, it's not that. Okay, so let's just make that clear. The gift of discerning of spirits is exactly that. It's the discerning of spirits. This is not the ability to read minds. This is not the ability to it's not the gift of suspicion, where if you suspect somebody of something, then that means that's automatically what's going on. No, that's not what this is. What the gift of the discernment is it's a divine ability that the Holy Spirit gives you, where you're able to tell by a person's motivations or their behaviors what spirit they're being led by. In other words, you're able to tell what spirit they have in them based on how they're motivated or how they're operating. You're able to tell through the discerning of spirits what is motivating them as far as a spiritual presence goes. Now, as we talk about this, here's why this is so important. You know, we all have five senses, and unless you have some type of impairment, you have five senses. You have the sense of sight, you have the sense of smell, you have the sense of touch, you have the sense of hearing, you have the sense of touch, okay? So five senses. However, when you're looking up at the stars, if you want to see the galaxy or stars that are far away, sometimes you can't see them by looking up at night and looking at them. Even if you go out in the middle of the country where there's no light pollution, you can't see them. You have to rely on a telescope. A telescope takes your natural senses and enhances it to where you can see what's out in space. Same thing on the Earth, on the world right now. If you want to turn around and look at something on a cellular level, whether that's skin tissue or something like that, your natural eye can't see that either. You have to rely on a microscope. So what a gift of discerning of spirits is it's a divine gift that the Holy Spirit gives us that allows us to understand the spirits that are motivating a person behind their actions, or, you know, as far as what motivates them. That's what helps us to understand that. And I will tell you, it's a super valuable gift. In fact, I will tell you that I also believe that this particular gift is one of the main gifts that always stays on. In other words, there are some gifts that come on and turn off and come on and turn off as the Holy Spirit's ministering through you. But two of the gifts that I feel always operate through you, this is one of them. This is a gift that I believe that if you're sensitive enough to being led by the Holy Spirit, this gift will always be on. Now, I want to go ahead and get right into some words to show you where this is at. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to go straight to verse 10, and this is where it first talks about this when it's giving the list of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's read. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to go down to verse 10. To another, discerning of spirits. Now, when we talk about that, I've already told you what it is, but we want to talk about its purpose and why it's operating. So in order to do that, I want to take you right back in the Word, and I'm going to take you to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. So Hebrews 4, verse 12. Let's read. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I will tell you that with the gift of discerning of spirits, it allows you to divide soul from spirit. In other words, this gift can be so fine-tuned if you're sensitive enough to the leading of the Holy Spirit that it can allow you to separate between soul and spirit. In other words, you're able to determine the spirits that are operating a person that motivate their intent. that motivate their decisions, that motivate their behaviors. This is given to us for protection, so that we can be led by the Spirit, so that we're careful to pay attention who we operate or associate with. One of the things I teach often is you are who you hang with. But what happens is when you hang out with people, you have to be a bigger influence on them than they are on you. And spiritually, they can say all the right things and know all the verses in the Bible. But if they are not operating by the correct spirits or the correct intents or behaviors or actions, you need to know not to associate with them. And I mean by associate them, I'm talking bring them into your close circle of friendship. Well, how do you do that? By operating in the gift of discerning of spirits. That's one of the ways this can help you. I will also tell you that this gift can greatly help you in leadership when you're making choices, especially when you're having to appoint people to leadership positions, whether you're in ministry, whether you're in or just a regular business within the secular world, doesn't matter. This gift has divine appointment within your life to help you appoint the correct people that you need for the correct positions, because it's a gift of discerning of spirits. I'm telling you, it can help you. I've used it for years and years. It is such a valuable gift. I also want to take you to another story, and this is in the Bible, out of the book of Acts. This is chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. This is when Peter and John, the word came to them that the word of God had reached Samaria. And so the apostles sent Peter and John to go and minister to them. And as they arrived, they realized that they had the word, but the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen upon them yet. So they go ahead and lay hands on them, but as they do, there's a sorcerer within the audience who wants this gift, and Peter confronts them. This is what it is. Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, Simon the sorcerer, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." What you have to understand is that Peter was able to use the gift of discernment to see what the others could not. It wasn't like he walked in and this guy had a name badge that they're at a convention. It's like, "Hello, my name is." It's not like this guy had a name badge that said, "Hello, my name is Simon. I'm a sorcerer." That's not what that is at all. He was able to discern through the gift of discerning of spirits. He was able to discern the spirits that were operating this guy that were motivating his intent. And that's why I helped him. Man, I can go on and on with stories about how this operated in the apostles' lives, how it operated in the Word. I can tell you about stories how it operated in my own life. I'll share a quick story with you, and then we'll close. A while back, one of the things as I was preparing the teaching that the Lord brought to remembrance is I remember a time a while back when my family and I were shopping. This is years ago. We were redoing our backyard, and so we were doing some landscaping. As we were, my family and I went to, I believe it was Lowe's at the time. And as we went to Lowe's, we were in their outdoor gardening section. And as we were there shopping around. And all of a sudden, this person started walking down the aisle towards us. Well, as they did, I felt something in my spirit go off. And when I looked up, it was like razor sharp. I felt impressed to look up and hone in on a specific person. Not scanning the room, but looked up and honed in on a specific person, because there were other people around. And when I did, instantly, I knew what it was. This guy was being tormented by demons and led by demons or devils. I knew it, just like that. I knew it. It went off in my spirit. And when it did, I saw him, and I asked the Lord quietly inside, "Lord, do you want me to go help this or address this gentleman?" And he said no. He just wanted to bring it to my attention so that I could protect my family. And so we had our kids, and they were pretty small at the time, and I turned around, and I said, "Katie, hold up." And I said, "Kids, come to Dad." And so my kids, you know, they're playing. They love playing in the gardening section. It's like a playground. So they turned around and they came to me, and I held them close. And Katie goes, "What's wrong?" I said, "I'll tell you in a minute." The gentleman walked towards us, and right as he approached about 10 feet within my wife and I, he purposely avoided making eye contact with me. I mean, he was walking up, and the moment he came close, he put his head down and was like looking away. He walked straight at us, and then stopped and did a complete arch around us, like a half circle, completely around us, like as if he had had to avoid an obstacle. He did a complete arch all the way around us, and about 10 feet on the other side, started to walk in a straight line again. And my wife turned around and said, what was that all about? I'll tell you later. Let's shop and have a good time. Well, later I expressed to her what the Holy Spirit had shown me. Now, some people might say, well, how come you didn't go free that man? I'm going to share something with you. Whenever someone has a demon operating within their life, you cannot cast the demon out of them if the person is unwilling to let the demon go. I'm going to say that again. If ever a person has a demon operating within their life, you cannot cast the demon out unless the person is willing to let the demon go. If you turn around and pray over them, you might cast it out, but it's going to come right back in. But in most cases, the demon won't come out because the person is unwilling to let the demon go. That being said, guys, that concludes our story on the gift of discerning of spirits. I hope you found this teaching educational and encouraging. This is such a powerful gift. I wish I had more time to just continue to share with you because it's such a deep gift. Guys, as always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. You can also swing by our social media. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also find us on Facebook and Twitter. And share these teachings. You know, we post these teachings at no cost. They're available to be streamed 24 hours a day on our website or social media. We want to get the word out, and we're asking you to help us. If these teachings are encouraging to you and you're learning, then share them on your social media feed. Share them with your family, your friends, your circles, so that you can help get this word out and partner with us to get God's word out. Guys, in addition to that, if you have any areas that you would like to be taught on your subjects, we invite you to swing by our website and on our contact page, fill out the form and send it to us. Those forms, my staff will make sure they come directly to me so I can see what you're wanting to inquire about being led on or being taught on. And as I see those, I'll take them before the Lord and be led so we can teach you guys on the areas you feel you want to be taught in. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Hallelujah.
All right, any questions? Comments?
Oh, man.
Sure.
I think I've been out.
What'd you say?
I was going to say, I know I've been out in a crowd of people being somewhere, even clowning. And you can just say something is wrong with that person. You're feeling a certain way about them or vibe.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done anything, but you just know that in their presence, the hair stood up on the back of your head, or you just felt something. And just like he was saying, do you deal with that, or you just God's just making you aware, you know, what to do about or remove yourself.
And just like he said, he asked the Lord. When he saw that man walking towards him, he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, do I take care of this? And God said, no. And but he knew he had to protect his children. He pulled his children to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like when God reveals everything, whenever he reveals something to you, say, okay, God, what do I do with this?
Good word. May I interject?
Pastor. Yeah, Pastor.
This is so real because he says something that we must always understand. If someone doesn't want to get rid of the demon ain't going to go. You pray it out, it will go and then it'll come back because he don't want to get rid of it. You know, and that is so real. That's why the word of God says to be instant in prayer. When you have that unction from the Spirit, that uneasiness in your spirit, God is trying to tell you something. You be instant in prayer. What are you trying to say, God? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But the person has to be willing to want to get rid of it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's going to come right back.
Right. The second time we were down at Lexington Market outside, a lady was standing by a tree. I didn't know she was waiting for her husband. But, you know, she was just standing there, and we were just, you know, giving out booklets and what have you. But she was very well dressed. and went over to her to just speak. And I said, this says something light. And she said, can you pray for me? She said, I do not want to be a drug addict. And I am. She said, can you pray for me? And it was such a compelling, you know, request. I said, sure, baby, we're going to pray right here and now. And I did. And about that time, her husband came up. He was well-dressed as well. He said, yes, this is my baby. She's going through some things. He said, but we got baptized on Sunday. I said, well, that is wonderful. So I was able to, you know, I was surprised. But the fact that her plea was so honest and to have prayer with her right there, you know, but she was willing. She wanted to give up the lifestyle that she was in. And she knew prayer would be the thing that would help her, you know, get that peace.
Mm.
That was amazing. I just, I thought about that.
Yeah, well, that's a good. That is a good one when someone wants to get rid of the demons, you know.
Uh-huh, right.
Your prayer will be effectual. But you can pray for somebody, and like Neil said, you know, the demon may go out for a little while, but he can come back because that person doesn't want it to go. He made a comfort zone in him. Now, I heard Neil say something. It was just a misstatement because he's given the five senses, and he said touch twice. He meant taste. So I just wanted, just in case y'all heard that. It was taste. That's the other sense. But they both start with a T. That's why he meant to touch, and then he meant touch again. But it was the taste was the fifth sense. But, again, this is rich teaching. This is the revelation gifts. The revelation gifts reveal something. Okay. Next week we'll be dealing with the power gifts, but this, the revelation gifts. Any questions? Oh, excuse me. Let me set up. I'll pass the piece. Go ahead.
Any more comments? Any more comments or questions? You still with us, Angie? Any more questions? Clarity?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So all of you know the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? What they are? And the three groups of three? Y'all know them, right? Okay.
Well, just look.
Revelation gifts.
Go ahead.
Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirit, power gifts, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, the inspiration gifts or the motivational gifts. They may be called by, you know, one or the other. But the inspiration gifts, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are operated not by individuals, but by the Holy Spirit through individuals.
Holy Spirit, amen.
The gifts of the Holy Spirit is for the edification of the body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
The fruit of the Spirit was of the edification of the person in Christ. Our nine types of prayer was for everybody. You see the steps that we're taking. You know, preparing ourselves for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we dealt with the fruit in our lives so we can have the character to be a landing place for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I venture to say that all of you have had one or more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifested in your life. You may not have known what to call it or what label to put on it, but you've walked in that area. Mm-hmm. But guess what? You are going to be doing more and more. God is going to give you confidence. And that confidence is what the Holy Spirit can use for you to step out, and for the Holy Spirit to use you as the instrument edify the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, all minds good, Pastor Peaches. I think we are done.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All minds clear. All right. Any questions? Any scriptures that need to be shared? Sister Angie, you have all the scriptures? Sister Angie. Oh, she might be asleep. You know, because she had a long day. I guess we all have long days. All right. But anybody else, any questions, comments? I want to share with you tomorrow important service, Wednesday. Because we need to know. God is preparing for us for something real big. We need to know the difference between the Old and New Testament. We need to know some specific stuff about the Holy Word of God, the sword, the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Bible. We need to know this. It gives us confidence in our walk. It gives us confidence in our talk. When you know what you're talking about, a surety, you speak with a confidence, not with arrogance, but you can speak with love and assurance that you got the 411. Hallelujah. God bless you all. I want to let you know that God loves you. We love you too. And nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah. Be blessed in the Lord, y'all.
Hallelujah.
Have
Amen.
Rest of your day, your evening. I'm going to tell you something. God ain't finished with you yet.
Thank you, Jesus.
All I got to say, is you're doing what I'm getting ready to say. Get ready. You're actually doing it. God being in
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now unto him was able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, in Jesus' name. So let the words of our mouth and the of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
When it's on my lips, your spirit is like water to my dry, thirsty soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
We love you. God loves you. Nothing you can do about it.
Hallelujah.